When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
And welcome back to another episode of Two Girls, One Ship, the podcast where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer. I'm Genesis, the girl who, even after 2.5 years, still has to double check that she's recording a damn podcast.
And I'm Bravada, the girl who's just like that golden retriever with the chef hat on. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just happy to be here. Jen does the audio recording stuff. So, that's her domain.
That's why we work. You are my other half. You complete me. Even though I hate that trope, but it's so good between us.
Hate it every other time.
Exactly. Because you aren't, like, the person who makes me... You don't make me whole, you make me better. And that's what I love about us.
It's because I'm a Virgo.
And I'm a Gemini. We're not supposed to work at all. Oh.
But you know what? There are a lot of media references and a lot of tropes that shouldn't work together. And a lot of different types of relationships that really, really do work well together. So we want to take a second look at those. Because we've had this topic as a patron chat once before. But now we have new listeners and we have new patrons and they all deserve their moment to shine. And I have a list of like 50 million in my head that I can pull out at any random moment. So I definitely have more to add to this conversation. So tonight we are joined by our lovely, lovely patrons. We'll go around the circle. Daddy Bat Knight, say hello.
Hello there.
Evie from HR, welcome onto your first show.
Thank you. Hello, hello.
Magister Davida.
Hello, hello.
And Apollo.
Hello.
I love how everyone's hellos are unique. Oh, I love this. All right. Tonight, we are talking about our favorite non-video game romances. So, diverting from all that the world of video game romances has to offer and throwing it into a different fictional world. I believe last time I copped out and said that my favorite non-video game romance was Us. So, I won't be doing that again.
Yeah, allegedly you have like hundreds you can just pull out randomly, so
I mean,
can't be Us.
I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that I pulled completely off the top of my head while making pizza bites before the show started. So, yeah, I do. All right, Bat Knight, do you want to kick us off?
Let's see. It's funny. I've had all this time to think about who I was going to talk about. And I was literally this afternoon talking to my wife and my kids, like, who do I talk about? I don't know which ones to talk about that I haven't mentioned already. And then it occurred to me that I have mentioned the fact that I go against the canon when it comes to, like, say, we've talked about Buffy before and how I'm one of the few people that thinks she should have ended up with Riley. I realized there's also a couple of other TV shows and various other forms of media that I like to buck the trend. Like, for example, Smallville, another show I'm crazy about. obviously, you know, Clark Kent, Lois Lane. That's, you know, that's the canon relationship. And yet my favorite pairing in that show was actually there's a character named Alicia Baker, who was played by Sarah Carter. Now, granted, her introduction was a little excessive, but I loved the idea of Clark getting to be with someone who also had abilities. So they both had to keep each other's secret. Mm. I also love, I had a second example. Oh, Power Ranger nerd. I'm a big Power Ranger fan. And, you know, obviously everybody loves the pairing of the original Green Ranger, Tommy, and Kimberly. I actually preferred Kimberly and Kat, because whereas Tommy and Kimberly was, you know, cute and romantical and all that jazz, and they had the whole superhero team up thing going on, at the end of the day, it was high school puppy love. And in some of the expanded media, the, you know, comics and things of that nature, we get to see, you know, Tommy and Kat actually, you know, blossom into a genuine lifelong romance. You know, they have a kid together. They work together. They, you know, she calls him on his bullshit, calls him on his bull. Oh yeah. I didn't have to censor that. Sorry. She calls him on his crap. And we, you know, I've discussed it before with Nathan and Elena that I love that. I've always loved that kind of relationship. And so the fact that Kat and Tommy do that is just that's my pick. And I realize that's not the one that everybody loves, but you know, there's more to it than, you know, it's that old saying, happy endings are just stories that haven't finished yet. So I like the long haul. Just because it's pretty when you're, you know, in a certain phase of your life doesn't necessarily mean it's going to last the long haul. She's making face.
I am making a face because one of my favorite lines from Sookie Stackhouse, her grandma actually said it, that if everything's not okay, it's not the end yet. And so it comes from this whole thing of like, if just because it's not okay right now doesn't mean that it's not going to be in the future. So your whole flipping the adage of that, of like, not every, if it's a happy ending, it means it's not over yet. I'm like, no, but I want it to end happy. I need that. I hope that my ending is happy.
Well, maybe that sounds a little more cynical than I meant it. I just meant simply that, you know, the cutesy high school romance phase does not a long haul relationship make.
Right. Yes, that I totally agree with. We need more than just the, oh my gosh, I'm so, the brand new affectionate type of love isn't necessarily long lasting. You need the time and investment into that to find out, like, can we actually live together? What happens after the fifth time this month you've left the toilet seat up? Is that really going to cause a major fight and a blow up, you know? So I get that. High school relationships are not long lasting in most cases. Oh. Anyway, I also got thoughts on the ones Daddy Bat and I brought.
I don't know them is the problem. But I will say, we talked about the high school thing with, I feel like, the Days Gone episode last week. We kind of touched on that. You got to go through some shit. So, yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
All right. Evie from HR. Hi, and welcome on. Who is your favorite? Actually, hold on. I think we should do the same thing that we did with Magister DeVita and just do a little bit of an introduction to you, because this is the first time that you're on the girls. Did you play Mass Effect?
I have been playing Mass Effect for years. It is my favorite trilogy.
All right. Who are your three? Like, who are your three romances from 1, 2, and 3?
I know. It's hard to pick. I know my top one is probably always going to be Liara. I love her.
Okay.
Second, I'd probably give it to Tally. And then Miranda. There we go.
Okay. Liara, Tally, Miranda. Did you play Dragon Age?
I have not. I tried Inquisition, but I couldn't do it.
Okay. And Baldur's Gate 3?
I am on my 8th run.
All right. Who is your canon?
Oh, it's Karlach every time.
All right. Ooh. All right, V will calculate your favorite fantasy trope then in her brain, because I cannot analyze that fast.
No, that's too much pressure. Wait, I need a minute.
Liara, Tally, Miranda, Karlach. What do they all have in common?
They're hot women, first of all, and very capable, but I need to think on the tropes because my brain's not working right now. But yeah, no, we all have something in common with our types. It's not as obvious as mine, where it's not, oh, so sad little elf boy. Yeah, that's real easy to compare. So let me think on it for a second.
All right. And while V's thinking, why don't you let us know about your favorite non-video game romance?
It was suggested a couple of ones. There's my favorite webtoon boyfriends, which has a lovely polycule. But I decided to go on the one that I got stabbed into my arm, being Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy.
All right. Good
choice. The communication is lovely, and I absolutely adore the both of them.
At some point, I plan on cosplaying
one of them. I don't know which yet.
We've definitely talked about Harley and Ivy as being the preferred relationship over Harley and Joker. So we approve of that.
That's a low bar to clear.
It is. But, you know, I haven't actually been able to see this relationship. I've only heard about it. So I'm happy that that's one of your favorites, and that you have a sick ass tattoo of them together. That's awesome.
Thank you. This was the second piece I got.
Nice.
Yeah, I've been wanting this to be canon since the animated Batman days, basically. So when they finally got their own comic runs and it was canon, I was absolutely ecstatic over it and read through. They have their own like 8-issue mini run of them dealing with Ivy coming back to life, which is a whole thing in of itself.
Okay.
And how they, like, navigate... There we go. Words are hard today. Navigate through, like, her refinding herself and what that means for the two of them and the plant clone. And they're just really good together, and they always somehow make it out in the end. And I love that about them.
Yay. I love that. And also, seeing two powerful women together is also, like, one of my favorite things to see in the world. I mean, the fact that, you know, it's like, Harley has, in my head, I always see her as a little bit of innocently misguided into mayhem. And Ivy is a little bit more like, I intentionally put myself into this chaos. So I love the idea of the two of them together. But that's just the way that I view them. I don't know if that's canon. I don't know if anybody else feels that way. But I love their mayhems together. That sounds great.
I see Ivy as planned chaos, where Harley is just an agent and, like, manifestation thereof here for the fun.
Nice. Thank you. Magister DeVita, who are you bringing to the table? Oh, no.
I was trying to think of something more modern and nowadays, but I kind of figured I would go back to one of the first romances that I first latched onto when I was first like thinking of complex relationships and different tropes being inside of a relationship. And that first one, when I was like a teenager, would have been from the anime Inuyasha, was Inuyasha and Kagome. I enjoyed their dynamic between the two of them. Like at first it started off as like, okay, we have a crush going on, but then, oh no, my ex, the guy I'm falling in love with ex has come back from the dead. It's very, teleromance type situation, there, but then also dealing with like the love triangle angle, both from that side of things, as well as, someone who was interested in Kagome as well. And then there's also the trope of like having that power dynamic. Inuyasha is a half demon, an ancient half demon who's very powerful and grows in power. But at the same time, all Kagome has to do is he has these cursed beads around his neck. She has to do is say sit, and he instantly has to fall down. And like any he can be doing anything at that moment, like holding a cursed sword, be about to destroy a whole village, or just being a perv, any number of things. And all she has to do is say sit, and then he instantly hits the ground, especially when she like goes on a rapid succession of saying sit over and over again. Just seeing their dynamics of them slowly falling in love with each other, despite all the chaos that's going on around them, the villains that they have to deal with, the love interests that are after them, and slowly coming together. I haven't got the chance to finish watching it. I kind of like stopped off where Adult Swim stopped off back in the day. I haven't really watched the new ones yet, but just seeing their dynamic between each other. I remember being riding in my car or riding in the backseat of my car during a family vacation, and I had the one of the movies playing, and it was the first time that they actually kissed on the show, and I was just like, oh my God! Like, I was so excited to see that happen. So it was definitely one of the first romances on outside of video games that really like truly drew me in.
The way that Inuyasha had me in a chokehold for so much of my life, I can't even explain. So I love Inuyasha and Kagome. I also love Miroku and Sango, like their romance so good. And it wasn't until that, you know, that Inuyasha sequel show that came out, I can't remember what it's called because I did not watch it, because that was when I found out that Rin and Sesshomaru were actually a couple and not just a really cute like dad-daughter relationship, which is what I thought it was growing up. Yeah. And I was like thoroughly icked, could not watch that sequel show. But I don't ship them at all. I love Sesshomaru, but like not Rin's like his daughter, okay? But yes, Inuyasha and Kagome, so cute. Similar, in a similar vein, the same thing happened with Fullmetal Alchemist, because I shipped Roy Mustang and Risa Hawkeye so freaking hard. And when they kissed in the movie, I still remember that moment in my life because it was so impactful. I was like, I waited so long for this. That's how it felt watching Inuyasha and Kagome too. So yes, love that. Totally agree. I think we're the only two here who know what Inuyasha is, maybe.
Fair enough. I guess it definitely had a chokehold on me as well. Like, in my teenage years, I was just like, oh my God, I'm so invested in this romance. And Inuyasha, stop going after Kikyo. Leave her alone. Koga, calm down. Get away from them.
I know. I was like, Kikyo needs to go die again. Leave him alone. It was so good. I love that show. I don't know if it's over, actually, because it just kept going. But I loved it.
Yeah, no, I don't know anything in Inuyasha.
Okay, sorry. Catching up on the chat.
But up next is Apollo.
Okay, well, I'll talk about ones that I really like, but then I'll get to my favorite, because my favorite hasn't changed. But I'll start with stuff I haven't talked about. So I really, really like the romances from the Silmarillion. I really like Melian and Thingol, because that relationship just sets up really the entire history of Middle-earth that we get, because their daughter, Luthien, who's supposed the most beautiful woman who's ever lived, marries Baron. A couple of generations later, we get Elrond and Elros. And Elrond, of course, is the father of Arwen. Elros is the couple thousand years grandfather of Aragorn, Aragorn, I don't know why I'm saying it wrong, who is another great couple. So just the meeting of Melian and Thingol leads to so many great romances and so many great love stories in the world of Middle Earth, but they're not my favorite. My favorite hasn't changed. It still comes from this show. I'm still going to go with Willow and Tara, because I love the way that Willow and Tara meet at a time when Willow has just lost Oz. She's at a low point, and meeting Willow, she really discovers who she is and blossoms in that role. We get in that relationship, we get a story of addiction and how it can destroy a relationship. We get Tara being strong, because when Willow is addicted to magic, she basically has an intervention and says, this is how you are hurting me. And if you do it again, this will be the consequence. Willow does it again. Tara sticks to it, even though she loves her. And the end of that episode is an all-time favorite ending of an episode for me, even though it's heartbreaking, because they have Michelle Branch on there singing goodbye to you as they pack everything up. I mean, it's horrible, but it's also amazing. Then, of course, they make it back together, and then everything falls apart because, of course, Terry gets shot in the head. That's not great, but the whole up till that point, I just love that relationship. Like, that is it's going to be hard for anything ever to beat that relationship for me. I mean, it's possible. It's going to be difficult.
Nothing will ever beat Tara and Willow. Like, they are amazing together.
I still need to watch that show. I just kind of giggled, and you're like, oh, she was shot, and that's not good. Like, this was so funny and nonchalant.
Well, I was talking about things that I liked, and then I got and I rambled into that, and I was like, well, that's not a good part, but the rest of it.
Do you have, you said you did. You had a favorite.
I do non-game. Have tons of favorites, non-game romances, but I'm also, well, it's a little early to go to a mid-break, so yeah, I can give a few of mine. And then we can do yours, and then we can go to a mid-break, and then we can flip it and talk about relationships in that we really, really don't like, and that we want to see end forever.
Yeah, bonus points for ones that other people really like for some reason that you can't understand.
I will probably have to defend because I am that toxic person. But, okay. So I read a lot of romance novels. And not just like smutty erotica stuff, even though that is totally on the list. I love a really good, solid book series of intense romances. I love my Anita Blake series, where it is Anita Blake and Jean-Claude, and then the evolution of that to where it is now. But generally, I am the type that I love to be thrown into a universe or a world or a setting, and then it starts with one character, and then the next book is tangential to them. So the book series that I brought is the Black Dagger Brotherhood. It starts with the king of the vampires named Wrath finding his love, Beth. And then the next book, The next book is about a brother named Rage and finding his love, Mary. And each one of these Black Dagger Brotherhood books follows a different brother. And then going from there and there and there onto it. I think they're on like book 27. They're also getting a TV series that is being overseen and executive produced by the author. So I have my fingers crossed that it will actually be good because she is heavily involved with the production of it. So yes, do not punch your microphone, Jen. That is not the way to go. Now, specifically, book number 2 is a story between Rage and Mary. Rage is spelled R-H-A-G-E. And if any of you have seen my screenshots from my Baldur's Gate 3 second playthrough, I created a tiefling male named Rage. I love this character so much, I created him in Baldur's Gate 3 so that way I could play out his romance. Now, granted, I romanced Astarion in that run and not anywhere near like the Mary he fell in love with in the books, but I specifically love Rage and Mary's relationship because it is the first time that I can really remember that I read a romance novel that hit me at an emotional level enough to make me cry. Obviously, they go through trauma, they bond, but then in the aftermath of that I'm so happy that we are really going to try this relationship out and that we want to move forward with this. Another tragedy hit. It came out of left, and I had no idea it was going to hit. And listening to it in audio, I cried so hard. And I was forever addicted to this series that I've now been reading for probably the last 10-ish years. Black Dagger Brotherhood by J.R. Ward. Next on the list is the Guild Hunter series. Elena Devereaux is a vampire hunter. But vampires in this one are a little bit specific, and they are the servants of archangels. Literal fucking angels, with the wings and everything. Elena Devereaux falls in love with the archangel Raphael, and they have a long-term romance over the next 6 or 7 books, and then it kind of switches off to other people within Raphael's household, I'll call it. I don't want to
get too... House of Hope?
It's not... Yeah, kind of Raphael's House of Hope. Guild Hunter by Nalini Singh. If you want a stupid sex-filled romance with vampires, the Night Huntress series between Cat and Bones, that's a good one. They fight and fuck all the time, and that's pretty much the entire plot line. I can't believe you did this to me. I hate your fucking guts. Let me fuck your guts. And then it switches to a whole bunch of different stuff. But I mean, there's at least an interesting story behind it. As in, like, let me rearrange your guts, not, like, kill you and fuck your entrails. That's not what I meant. It was more of a let me rearrange you.
I don't like either. You know what's always funny about these books is, like, the man is like, hey, I'm Viper. And the girl's just like, I'm Kate. And, like, I don't get it. There's always, like, these dangerous, like, dudes with rando names. And then girls with, like, the most basic bitch-ass names. Is it because we're supposed to imagine it's us? Like, who's reading it? I don't understand.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. I do. And, yeah, kind of.
I say that as someone who's read a bunch of these kind of books. I've read a bunch of these kind of books.
Yeah.
Also, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Do you have a thing for vampires?
Oh, God. Could you not know? Did you not know?
Can you just say that with a straight face?
Did you not know that I totally may or may not have a thing for vampires? Also, having 2 vampiric tattoos.
In reach.
No, he's right over there sitting next to Angel. I can grab him, though.
Yeah. Okay. If you need good vampire books, Jen has a list. In a really very awkward, complete sharp turn away from what you were just talking about, my favorite non-game romance couple that I was going to say, because I didn't think anyone else was going to say this, was Bandit and Chili from Bluey. Because their marriage is just so beautiful. And if you haven't seen Bluey, it's because you don't have a child, probably, or you aren't around children a lot. It's a children's show. But it's just a really good marriage. And my honorary mention is definitely going to have to be Mulan and Shang from Mulan, because I love their relationship, too. Leave it to me to talk about, like, the Y7 rated show or something.
Would you like to stay for dinner? Would you like to stay forever?
That's my favorite. That's my favorite part.
Okay, but I do love Bluey. I will give you that. Those are super sweet. Their marriage is really happy together. They co-parent amazingly. It's not like the mom stays home and takes care of the kids while dad's out at work, which is what is portrayed in most TV series, especially targeted towards kids. Oh my gosh. This really is that some days mom goes to work, some days dad goes to work. Other than that, they are taking care of the kids together.
Yeah, I have a 4-year-old, it shows. But also, Bluey's like for the adults, I feel like. Some of those episodes have legit made me cry. But yeah. Oh, another one is definitely the 1995 BBC miniseries edition of Pride and Prejudice for Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth Bennet. I freaking love that version specifically.
Also, Bluey does have adult-themed jokes in it hidden in them quite well. I fucking laugh. The dad makes jokes about a vasectomy. And it was pretty funny. Mm-hmm.
It's just great. It's a great show.
Mid break dance. I don't know what we're going to dance to. I mean, I've got my boys in my arms, which is always nice. And I don't know if there's a specific vampire dance. We don't have any fun facts for tonight, other than the fact that I am learning about the differences between pleather and leather. Wish you were on the live stream in order to catch all that info. And also, we don't have any new reviews to read out. We don't have any new patrons to shout out. And I don't think that we have any Spotify comments that we need to address right now. But thank you so much for leaving them. We love waking up to the emails from Spotify saying you got a new comment. Please publish. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And of course, at the middle of the show, we shout out our lovely, lovely patrons. Big heart, major love, all the thank yous to Toasty and Apollo, Becky and Daddy Bat Knight, Stone Mystios and Muffiny Cake, Winifer, Evie from HR, Lavellany, and Magister DeVita. Loves! Let's get back in to the show. All right, for the second half of the show, we generally take our topic and flip it on its head. I really can't think of one right now of a non-video game romance that I absolutely despise, but apparently V has one right out the gate.
No, everyone else can go first. I just went for the other bit.
Evie, do you have a non-video game romance that you just do not understand whatsoever?
It's not that I don't understand or don't like it. I just think the character belongs to somebody else entirely. And it is a semi-popular one. For those that have seen it, it's Ruby. A lot of people go with Ruby Rose and Jean from it. And I think Ruby is better with Weiss. And because Jean just seems a little bland. It was set up so much in the first season. They're supposed to be with a different character being Pyrrha, but then she kicks the bucket early on. So everybody's like, oh, he should be with Ruby because it makes sense. They're both like the sort of leads of their teams. But Weiss and Ruby have like this awesome enemies to friends and then possibly to a relationship story arc that they could go through with. And I absolutely love that more.
What series is this from?
It's Ruby. It's from Rooster Teeth, same guys who did Red versus Blue.
Oh, okay. That's the one that's like RV. The name is Ruby,
R-W-B-Y, but it's spelled... Yeah,
okay. Yep. Okay, so I've not
watched that. And because her older sister and the other teammate, because it's a team of four, are already together, what's better than one couple pair of useless lesbians? Two pairs of useless lesbians. Okay, I'm good now. Mini rant over.
Scene. Okay. I unfortunately know nothing about the characters, so I don't have any input on it. V, do you know? Did you watch Ruby?
No, I've never heard of it even.
Oh.
But
I've at least heard of it.
Can I? Okay, so who do you want them to end up with? Ruby and they ended Weiss. Up with and Weiss?
And a lot of people ship her with Jean, which is sort of like the pseudo male lead of the group. Of what's left of them, at least.
Cool. Well, because I had still been thinking about the trope that unifies your things, but I can't judge if it's going to apply to either of these characters. But I was wondering if the trope that I was thinking kind of resonated with you. It doesn't necessarily apply super well to Miranda, but for Liara and Tally for the most part, and definitely Karlach, there's this trope called the heart, where it's like they usually try to push you towards like more morally good choices or paragon choices, but they're also just like the emotional center of the group. And I feel like Liara for sure and Karlach especially, like they just let everyone stay in the present. And I mean, Liara too also thinks of the future with the time capsule bit, but it made me think of all four of them except Miranda, really, like I said, because She's not like morally good. Yeah. But they all four of them are so strong and capable and confident and attractive. So
yes.
But yeah. I don't know. Maybe that one might apply to you.
That's definitely part of it. My usual thought is, especially with like Liara and Tali, it's very much like having that friendship and then going somewhere with it and that pre-established just banter.
I always love that. Especially Liara. Like, she's your best friend, no matter if you romance her or not. Liara's just so awesome.
All right. Bat Knight. Now that you're back on cams, do you have a least favorite?
Well, I think I've mentioned before, I mean, when we talk about our favorite versions of things, that Spider-Man and MJ, the only version of them I like them is the Insomniac games. A lot of people love them with the Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst. It was cute in the first movie. To me, it progressively got worse over the second and third, to where the point by the time the third one rolled around, I really didn't like her. But I'm going to rock the boat a little bit. I mentioned this in chat. I am not done with the series, but considering this character is the reason I initially got into the series, it's kind of disappointing for me to point out that the relationship I want to mention is Sookie Stackhouse and damn near everybody. Because Anna Paquin, you know, big fan of hers from the X-Men movies, and then I got into that because, hey, she's all grown up now and awesome, and then I watched this and I'm like, okay, I don't particularly like her with Bill. And I know quite a few people that swoon over her and Eric, and I don't get that either. And then she had a fling with Alcide, and I'm not okay with that. And now there's this new guy and I don't like him, because it's like, man, I don't like her. And it hurts me to say that. She's the whole reason I started watching it. And now it's Buffy all over again. I watch the show for everybody but the main character.
So just on a point of clarification, I do not swoon over Sookie and Eric together. I swoon over me and Eric together.
I wasn't singling you out. I did mention I know a few people.
Yeah, Sookie's not good enough for any of them, except for maybe Bill. He's weird. They can have each other.
So yeah, I don't know how that, where I'm currently at, she's just, I can talk freely. I'm not going to spoil it for anything or anybody. I guess I probably already have. But she's now pursuing a relationship with this half vampire fairy guy.
Mm-hmm.
And given why he's in Bontomp in the first place, I'm like, sweetie, honey, no. Like, what? Why? Nothing about this is going to end positively. And so, yeah, that was the final straw where I was like, man, I don't like her. And that was a hard pill for me to swallow.
Yeah, I think by the end of the series, I wasn't watching for Sookie
either. I
really
liked her in the first, like, three seasons.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree that the relationships in True Blood are not peak. They are not to be aspired to. I think that one of the best relationships is between Eric and Pam, because they are deliciously evil together. So love that for them. I want good things to happen to Jason Stackhouse, but that's all I'm going to say about that. I wish good things could happen to him.
Between Jason and... I mean, I can see the attraction between both Jason and Jessica, but I don't know if that's a healthy pairing. From where I'm at, I'm not going to say why, but I liked, I can't think of her name, Arlene and the soldier guy who worked in the kitchen.
Oh, uh-huh.
I liked them, and I just got to an episode where that didn't have a great ending. And the only other, I mentioned long ago that the first relationship I really rooted for was Jessica and Hoyt. And then I liked Sam and Luna. That relationship actually started to make me like Sam. And then, yeah, I was like, I joked with my wife. I said, you know, I thought Game of Thrones did what it did, or, you know, had its little formula because Game of Thrones. Turns out, no. HBO has a formula. And if you like somebody, we're going to make sure you either don't like them or they die.
That was also the books, though. You got to think that a lot of this storyline was based off of the books. But, yes.
All right. So, Magister DeVita, you got one that you want to add?
Absolutely. But anyways, going on, thank you for that segue on Daddy Bat Knight, because speaking of Game of Thrones, truly cannot stand and was a part of the whole season, the last season being just a horrible thing overall, was the relationship between Cersei and Jaime Lannister. Like, I had friends who were like, come on, like, give Jaime a shot. He ends up like he killed the king because of that, this reason. He's just misguided, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just like, okay. After a while, I was like, okay, I'll give him a shot. He's starting to get with Brienne. I was like, okay, this is adorable. I like this. And then homeboy gets on that horse, and I'm obscenely upset by the visage of him being like, I'm sorry, and him riding away to that poisonous snake in King's Landing. Meanwhile, Brienne of Tarth is just there sobbing. And I'm just like, this is horrid. Like, my dude, like, why? You could have had happiness with this one. Don't go after her. There's nothing but death in King's Landing. What are you doing? And then they die in each other's arm. It's the most sickening, sickening thing for me. But yeah, that's definitely one of my top just boo relationships. Also honorary runner-up, Ron and Hermione, because I'm also not really a big fan of that either, because that whole relationship going through the books, I'm just like, no, I get opposite attracts, but no.
Okay, before V goes off
are
on
we the
twin
same
cest.
Person? No, like, seriously, are me and Magister DeVita the same person right now?
I mean, we're both Virgos, so I think we probably got that vibe going.
Oh, I was like, I fully agree with you so much on just even the basis that Jaime belongs with Brienne of Tarth. Are you kidding me? That relationship was so good in the books. I wanted them to end up together so bad. I am so here for that. I've never wanted the one thing that I wanted from the Jaime and Brienne relationship in the TV series that they completely dropped off of. Not once did I get a wench. Not once did I get a wench out of Jaime, and that pissed me the fuck off. I was like, that was so key and so pivotal to their relationship, and they completely dropped it. I was so mad. I also really do want the next book to come out so that way there can be some vindication of, I'm sorry, HBO, you didn't pick up on the subplot here, but I'm pretty damn sure that Jaime is not going back to King's Landing at the end of this. There's no way. I don't know why this hit such a sore spot for me right now, but apparently I'm still mad about this.
Me too. Well, for me, it's like
everybody's still mad.
Yeah, he had the reason we're mad, scientifically speaking, is because there's such a thing called a character arc, and they just imploded it for Jaime. Like, he had so much growth, so much development, so much hope for a better future because he comes from this freaking shit-eating family. He's got this nasty-ass bitch for a sister, twin sister, which, once again, I'm a twin. Twincest is always forbidden. Forbidden forever. And then I'm like, I see this great way out where I'm like, okay, cool. Jaime and Tyrion are like the good Lannisters. They can get out of it. And then he's just like, actually, let me just go revert back to who I was in season 1 and erase everything that just happened to me. It was so frustrating to watch. I hated that. And also, Hermione should have ended up with Draco Malfoy. And I will die on that hill.
Yes. Agreed on that one as well. All riled up now.
So Sorry to spark the flame.
No, it's good. It's
funny because my pick is also an HBO couple for one I hate. What is it about HBO?
Oh,
they know drama.
Yeah, they do.
And shitty relationships, apparently. Because my pick is Carrie Bradshaw and freaking Big. Like, I hate them. I actually hate Carrie as a character from Sex and the City. Sorry, let me be clear. This is very old beef because the show's from the 90s. But, like, their relationship makes no sense to me. That's where I'm going to leave it. We don't need to discuss it. Carrie's a bitch. Big's an awful asshole. They don't even deserve each other. Hate them. Also, in the same vein as Ron and Hermione, I really don't like Aang and Katara in Avatar The Last Airbender. Those are my two picks. I had to pick two because it's really hard to pick one.
I didn't watch either of those, so I have no thoughts. I haven't finished Airbender yet. I'm struggling with the YA.
I feel like you should at least watch Sex and the City because it's like a cultural moment from 30 years ago. But also, like, Samantha's my favorite character. And I feel like she would also be your favorite character in that show.
I heard that it doesn't stand the test of time. Like, you have to have the nostalgia for it in order to get past some of the blatantly horrible things that they do on that show.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I just rewatched it within the last year. And I do have some nostalgia for it. It's campy because it's made in the 90s, or at least the first couple seasons. But it definitely holds up a lot better than fucking Friends, okay? That's my other hill to die on, is I don't understand why people like Friends still. The show sucks. Sex and City's, like, at least better.
Maybe I'll give it a shot. We'll see.
But Apollo, do you have one that you want to add?
All right. Well, I'll do three quickies instead of going deep into any one. So this one I've mentioned before. I love Mulder, I love Scully, love the X-Files, hate Mulder and Scully as a couple. Couldn't stand that at all. Number two, this is a couple that on the show, awesome. I'm happy on the show that they got together. But if I met this couple in real life, I don't think I could be in the same room with them for more than about 10 seconds. And that would be Michael and Holly from The Office. Love that they got together, would not be able to be in a room with them because they would drive me nuts. And then number three, since you did say, is there one that somebody doesn't like that somebody else does? Sorry, Daddy Bat Knight, but I couldn't stand Buffy and Riley. Oh, I hated that couple so much. But that's, you know, taste is relative.
I didn't watch The Office. Apparently, I just don't watch TV. I don't know what's going on. So I don't have any on that one. Buffy and Riley, I do see it. I don't understand that one. I don't think Buffy should be with anybody, if I'm being completely honest. Angel should be with Cordelia. Full stop, period there. Spike? Maybe? Okay. That's a whole lot of emotional trauma and a big scene that would have to be completely removed from memory in order for their relationship to be acceptable again. Buffy and Riley both had some maturing and growing up to do before they could be in a proper relationship together. I don't think that college romance was for either of them. They needed to grow up a little bit first. Buffy needs to be single. That's my stance. I'm still trying to run through relationships that I've experienced in my head and to say that I honestly just straight up don't like them together. I can't pick one. I don't know.
Did you watch Lucifer?
I did.
I hated Chloe and Lucifer together for every single season except for the last one.
You hated them together except for them in the last one?
Yeah. I'm sorry. She's like not even worth his time up until the end. I don't even understand like his devotion because she was just like, oh, so boring. Oh, no. But then like at the end where she's like, I accept my love for you and your love for me. And then like the end was so cute and that was great. But up until that, I was like, oh my God, Chloe, go away. Like I was so bored of her. But yeah, I really like...
Wasn't she created specifically for him, essentially, by God?
That's what they say, but who knows?
Kind of hard to resist that.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Was she really created for him? Because, like, who told him that? I don't know. God could say whatever he wants, and that doesn't have to be true. He could just be lying. I don't know.
God can lie.
He's got the whole God works in mysterious ways thing. How do you think he works in mysterious ways? Is there free will, or is it like, I literally created this person for you? You could argue like every person was created for someone, and that someone is God. Let me reap some souls. Who knows? That's why I could not understand her like hang up about that. Even if that was true, did you look at him? Be okay with that, Chloe. Just be okay with it. Wow, what a horrible fate.
I don't know. She was just such a good kind of foil to him throughout the whole series, though. The banter and her just not putting up with his
narcissism
and stuff. Like, she was so good at that.
I guess for me, I just could not understand how she was like so not into it. I would have just laid down right there and been like, I'm good.
That's because you're a monster fucker. That's why.
That's true. Brain chemistry was altered when his wings first unfurled. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes. And also, you are fully aware that I've watched the entirety of Lucifer. I literally text you within 5 minutes of me watching the ending, and you ran to me to hug me.
Oh, yeah. That was when I first moved here, and I was staying in the hotel. Yeah. That was great.
Is there a relationship that I don't like? If I think of one, if I honestly try and think of people that I just do not understand together, I'm sure that I probably could, but a lot of the media that comes to my mind is either video game related or romance novels. And the romance novels that I read, they're meant to be together. These people are designed to fit together. They're what the author intended me to read as, this is the fantasy that I'm seeing played out. So I travel with them down their path. I enjoy the story, and whether or not, this relationship dynamic is not something that I would ever want in my world, or whether it is like, okay, that chick kind of gets on my nerves, but I really, really like the girl she's hooking up with, you know, that's just the way that I am. I can find the little bits and pieces out of people, and as long as I can latch on to that one thing, then I'm good with it. Except for Jamie and Cersei.
That has to be the exception.
Yeah.
Or Bella and Edward.
No, because I like them together too. By the end of book four, you don't like them together?
Oh, I didn't finish reading it.
You can't judge it.
I don't think I've even seen that movie.
By the end.
No, I can't. I will judge it because I read the first, or maybe I did read the fourth one. I still didn't like it. Just feels icky to like have a barely year-long relationship end in her dying and also giving birth to his kid and being stuck with him forever.
They were together for two years before all that happened, but okay. Sorry.
I don't know. Someone said they did the timeline and like the only way to confirm it was like a year, but that was someone else's calculations. I didn't do that.
Watch the fifth movie and we'll see.
Maybe.
Okay. All right.
Maybe I will.
I think this is a good spot for us to wrap it up before I go off on a Twihard rant. Bat Knight, go ahead and shout out all the wonderful things on the internet you do.
All right. So I don't know about wonderful, but I am still doing my Twitch page. So I am streaming 4 days a week, Sunday through Wednesday. I usually aim for 9 p.m. Eastern time, sometimes a little earlier, sometimes a little later, depending on when I get my kids to bed. And I play a different game all 4 days. Sunday is Marvel's Midnight Suns. On Bat Monday, I'm currently playing Telltale's Batman series. Tuesday, you know what? I don't know how many people from my stream actually watch this. I was going to make it a surprise, but in case anybody hears this. I should next week be finishing up Ghostbusters the game for Tuesday night. And my the next game I'm going to be streaming on Tuesday nights is going to be Banishers. And then Wednesday night, I am playing, like I call Wednesday night WW Wednesday, and I'm playing 2K24's My Rise. So, yeah, we just got past Survivor Series. I'm still Universal Champion, you know, in the game at least.
Thank you. Thank you. How many nights a week are you streaming now?
Four.
Four. Four nights a week.
Sunday, right. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Sounds good. Evie from HR, where can our listeners find you on the internet?
All of the persona socials, as it were, and my Twitch channel is at Evie Plays, ending with a Z, and the L is a 1. I'm on Twitch. I stream Thursdays. I want to bump it up to Wednesdays, but working nights takes a lot out of me. But we try. I play a lot of variety games. Usually it's some form of FPS with my idiot friends that I adore on Thursday nights, some R6 and CSGO, occasionally Helldivers. And if I can find the time, Overwatch. But yeah, that's about it for me.
Nice, nice. Send me or post in our Discord your Twitch channel, and I will make sure that the girls are following you. Thank you, thank you. Magister DeVita, what you got?
Hello, hello. It's Magister DeVita here. Thank you for having me. I am currently assisting with currently building up a Fiverr account. I'm currently assisting people when it comes to world building, whether it be sci-fi, fantasy, modern day, or if you're going to do character building, whether it's for tabletop, role-playing, or even LARPing, whatever else that you want to do. I'm offering my service as a consultant to be basically someone that you can sound off your ideas off of and help you grow those things. You can find me on the Discord, both Two Girls, One Ships, as well as other ones as well, or on the Patreon as well. And feel free to hit me up if you have any, want to bounce off any ideas or anything like that.
Woohoo! Yes, and once you get your Fiverr fully up and running, please let us know, and we will include it where we can.
Will do.
Apollo, what you got going on?
Well, I don't do anything cool on the internet, but I have in the past 4 weeks joined for the first time in my life, joined the ranks of people who can actually run a mile without stopping. So that's something.
That is something. I can walk a mile without stopping. I don't know if I can run one anymore. All right. And if you like what you are hearing, please be sure to leave a review on iTunes or on Spotify and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can now find me on the Cyberpunk Lorecast with my co-host Toasty, where we explore the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future for all things cyberpunk. Check out Scyther Audio's newest fan-made production, The Avengers, the audio drama, where you can hear me and several of our podcasting friends. You can reach out to me in our Two Girls, One Ship channel on the Robots Radio Discord, and come give us a follow on all the social medias and on patreon.com/twogirlsoneship. Our theme music was composed by the ever-talented Pipe Man Studios, and our artwork was designed by the esteemed Let's Not. Links are in the description.
I am also on the Robots Radio Discord and on our own Two Girls, One Ship Discord server, where we nerd out on all our favorite CGI significant others. Be sure to check out our live streams on Fridays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Our podcast episodes come out on Mondays because you need at least one good thing on a Monday.
So thanks for listening, and remember,
beauty is in the eye of the controller.
Hi, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Ariel.
And we're the hosts of the Legend of Zelda Lorecast, a podcast about all things Legend of Zelda. From Errol to Zora,
and all the fun things in between.
If you're ready to dive deep and learn more about the Legend of Zelda lore and everything surrounding it, come join us on the Legend of Zelda Lorecast. You can find us on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Google, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
We hope to see you soon.